Greetings from one clay jar to another. What a blessing it is to be reminded, as you were two Lord's days ago, that Jesus delights to dwell within clay jars. Praise the Lord. But you know, I'm reminded that if Jesus desires for his light to shine through us, the clay jars that we are, we're all familiar with the fact that until a clay jar is cracked, the light won't shine through it. And you see, it's in those broken moments of our lives as clay jars that Jesus shines through. And hopefully we'll be able to appreciate that all the more this morning. And last Lord's Day, what a blessing it was to be reminded that we who have that faith of Abraham, we who have received the gift of faith, have resurrection faith. Resurrection faith. And you see, this morning we're going to be considering what I'm calling the antidote to losing heart. The antidote to losing heart. And I'm sure each and every one of us here this morning have encountered those times when our hearts have been rather weak, when we have truly grown weary and were heavy laden. In fact, the scriptures speak to us about the matter of growing weary, about the matter of losing heart. Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 9, "And let us not grow weary, let us not lose heart while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart, grow weary." And he likewise writes in his letter to the Thessalonians, the second one, the third chapter, and verse 13, these words, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary, do not lose heart, doing good." And it's interesting that he writes those words to the Thessalonians, whom he describes this way: "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." In many ways, isn't that a description of the saints here of Trinity Reformed Presbyterian Church? And yet it's to those saints the Apostle Paul must write, "Don't lose heart. Don't grow weary in doing good." And then how many of us lose heart in prayer? And yet the Lord Jesus is the one who reminds us of that widow. That widow who goes to the judge. And he wants that judge to respect her with regards to her adversaries. And what does the Lord say? Because of her persistence, because she did not lose heart, the judge cared for her against her adversaries. The antidote that we find Paul giving us in that fourth chapter and verses 16 and 17 and 18. Listen to what he says. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God lasts forever. Amen. Based on what you heard Charles Leach preached two Lord's Days ago, and what you heard Barry York preach last Lord's Day, Paul begins our passage with the word therefore. Therefore reminds us that we need indeed to have paid attention to what came before. Because we are clay jars tasked with taking this treasure, which is always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Of course, this is true if we're able to say with the Apostle Paul, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And he goes on and he speaks about our having this same spirit of faith. And we were led to understand, weren't we, that that word spirit might very well be capitalized. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and therefore we're moved to speak out of the confidence that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, so we too, if we die before Jesus returns, will also be raised from the dead. And it's then in our passage, these three verses, that Paul is going to give us circumstances in which we may well be tempted to lose heart, to grow weary of being ambassadors for Jesus. And in verse 16, he wants us to join him in considering the body, his body. And then in verse 17, he wants us to consider his afflictions. And that word that's translated there, afflictions, is the same word that's translated tribulation and trouble back in verse 4 of chapter 1, and we'll notice that later. And then in the third, in the 18th verse, he contrasts the visible with the invisible. He contrasts the present with the eternal. And so first of all, in verse 16, Paul considers his body. Paul writes, "Even though our outward man is perishing." Now, children, it's awfully hard for you, I'm sure, to think about your body perishing. I remember when I was young, almost anything that I wanted to do physically, I could do. I remember learning to swim at a very, very young age. I remember growing up in my neighborhood playing neighborhood baseball and neighborhood basketball and neighborhood football. How about it? I remember in the scouts that I was an Eagle Scout with merit badges far beyond what you needed to be an Eagle Scout. Yes, I was a lifeguard at one point. Yes, I learned how to officiate basketball in high school. Yes, officiate high school basketball and college, high school basketball, college volleyball and high school volleyball. Oh, I remember in my late 30s running those 5Ks, those 10Ks, those 15Ks, those 20Ks, those 25 half marathons, a marathon. I even ran up Pikes Peak. Boy, was my body not going to perish? Of course not. Look at all I could do with this body I had. And then about a decade ago, my grandson is out in our driveway with the basketball and the hoop, and he's shooting away. And I go, you know, it would be great to go over there and shoot some jump shots. And my body said, "To whom are you talking?" You know, as we grow older and we begin to look at the body in which we live, we recognize, don't we, that it's perishing. And when we think about the Apostle Paul and what his body has to have been like at the time that he's writing to the Corinthians, he speaks there later on in the 11th chapter, beginning in verse 23, in stripes above measure. Actually, from the Jews, 5 times 40 minus 1. 3 times beaten with rods. 1 stoned. 3 times shipwrecked. Now, think about what it was like to be in the water. What did that do to his body? A night and a day, I have been in the deep, in perils of water, in perils of robbers. What happens to the body when a robber comes and beats you up to take away your goods? In perils in the sea, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. He would look at his body and he would realize he is perishing. But then he says this, in the inward man is being renewed day by day. How about it, brothers and sisters? Are you able to identify with the Apostle Paul? That your inner man is being renewed day by day. And we're going to see, Lord willing, the first Lord's Day of May when I'm back and preach those last few verses in the fifth chapter of this letter. That 17th verse that some of you might remember I preached on the first Lord's Day of this year, January 7th. If anyone be in Christ, he's what? A kainos creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become kainos. And you see, it's as that inner man where the Spirit of God dwells, that inner man where Jesus Christ delights to live, that inner man who by the grace of God is more and more realizing that the deeds of the flesh are no longer appealing to me. And what are those deeds of the flesh? Adultery. Think of lusting. Fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. As we're being renewed day after day after day, what happens in our lives? But we begin to not quench the Holy Spirit, but indeed be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that what? How many of us are able to say what the fruit of the Spirit is? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. We see ourselves more and more and more day after day after day being transformed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how is it that we're transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ? It's when we realize the providences of our lives are so ordained and orchestrated that we not lose heart, that we not grow weary. As ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's in those broken moments as we appropriate the grace and love of Jesus Christ that He makes Himself known to those around us. We are indeed a peculiar people because we don't grow weary when the temptation is to say, in this, I'm supposed to do what? Make Christ known. The second circumstance, he wants us to consider his afflictions. To consider his afflictions. And listen to how he writes about his afflictions. Listen to how he writes about that litany that I read for us earlier that he speaks about in the 11th chapter. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Do I need to rehearse some of those afflictions that the Apostle Paul will write about? But you see, the Apostle Paul wrote the first chapter of this letter, didn't he? And it's in the fourth verse of that first chapter that you remember what he wrote. Well, maybe you don't. Let me remind you. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. And it's the same word, tribulation. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. When we are incurring affliction, when we are incurring tribulation, when we are incurring trouble, our first thought ought to be, all of this is according to God's providence so that we may enjoy his comfort. And Jesus, you remember, is the one who said, it's expedient for me to go to be with the Father so that my Father and I are able to do what? Send the Comforter. The Holy Spirit. The one who resides in the people of God. The one who resides in us. The one who is able to, who enables us to say, this tribulation is light. It's momentary. How can he speak about it being light and momentary? Well, he tells us, doesn't it? Is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You see, when we put our 70, 80, 90, 100 days of our lives in perspective to being eternally with God, we're but a moment. We're but a moment in this life. And we all, I think, we all at least know the first question and answer of the Shorter Catechism, don't we? At least I remember that much of it. What is the chief end of man? Kind men and women, boys and girls. What is our chief end but to glorify God and enjoy Him forever? This light and momentary affliction, these providences of God that work in these clay jars to break us from selfishness, from trying to make it through in our own power, in our own strength. His light begins to shine through because we begin to think about what is happening after this life. When the glory, the weight, as it's spoken about in the Old Testament, and the glory in the New, we are able to glorify God through all eternity. As we read about there in 1 Corinthians 15, in Revelation chapter 21. And what was the psalmist saying at the end of Psalm 17? I will wake up and see you. The third, he contrasts in verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen. Just look around. Just look at all of the things. All of the things that our eyes can see. And this word that he uses for look, it's not just dunch, dunch, dunch. It's look. Evaluate. Consider. What do we see when we look at each other? What do we think of when we look at each other? We're all going to perish unless Jesus returns. We're all going to perish. We're all corruptible. We're all mortal. And we don't know, do we, the moment that we will die. But an antidote against losing heart is taking our eyes off. Taking our eyes off. Considering the things that are physical in this world. Take our eyes off that. And do what, the more I read it, the more I scratch my head and say, look at what's unseen? How in the world do you look at something unseen? What are the eyes of faith all about? Where is our focus supposed to be if we have truly denied ourselves, taken up our cross, and what? Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Where are our eyes to be? 24/7, 365, 66 days. This year we get to do it one more day. On Jesus Christ. When we have our eyes focused on Jesus, we may be as the Apostle Peter was able to be when Peter said to Jesus, "Command me to come to you on the water." The storm-tossed water. The tribulations, the persecutions, the afflictions, the troubles of everyday life. And he walked on water until he took his eyes off Jesus and focused on the storm. You see, we won't lose heart when we keep our focus on the one who loved us and gave himself for us, so that we might have life, even a taste of heaven this side of the grave, as we fellowship together with the people of God, and as we enjoy the table that he sets before us, to which he says, "Come," because there's a table awaiting us in that new heaven and that new earth. And our eyes are focused on that Jesus who is seated there at the right hand of his Father. The Lord as the God-man mediating over all things on this earth, for the sake of his bride, the church. The antidote for losing heart at the end of the day is having the focus that the Apostle Paul gives us in these three verses. I'm looking at Jesus. Let's pray.